You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, high school seniors are starting to apply to colleges and for financial aid. We'll talk about an ongoing series from USA Today Network Wisconsin about the impact of student loan debt here in the state.
Right now, we're talking about the problem of antibiotic resistance. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has data showing antibiotic resistance in the U.S. sickens more than 2 million people each year and has cost medical providers more than $20 billion.
Mark Cook joins us now to talk about his research on solutions to antibiotic resistance. He's a professor and researcher in the Department of Animal Science at UW-Madison and co-founder at AbbE Discovery, a spinoff company from UW-Madison. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rob and Veronica.
Well, let's start off with the basics. So what is antibiotic resistance? What does it work? How does it affect us?
Well, antibiotic resistance is basically the organisms, microorganisms on your body, which have developed some type of resistance to the common antibiotics that we use to fight infection. And so your body is basically covered with different types of microorganisms, both on your skin and your mouth and your gastrointestinal tract. And if they become pathogenic and they are resistant to the antibiotics we use to fight infection, and they in turn cause an infection, then we have a problem.
Now, we hear about this a lot in terms of we're at the doctor's office. We don't want to have unnecessary antibiotic prescriptions provided by doctors so that we don't raise antibiotic resistance. As I understand it, that human angle is only part of the problem. You're in the animal science department. What does antibiotic use in livestock have to do with human antibiotic resistance problems?
Well, for a long time, we really didn't have a good handle on whether or not the use of antibiotics in animal agriculture was causing a problem. But increasingly, with the new tools that we have, scientists are beginning to discover that the use of antibiotics in animal agriculture potentially could be having a problem, particularly with regards to people working around animals where these antibiotics are used.
Right. As I understand it, the problem isn't so much antibiotics get used on animals. We eat the animals or their milk or whatever, and then that somehow transfers antibiotic resistance to us. That's not the pathway we're mostly worried about.
Right, right. So really, we have cleaned up. There is not an issue of antibiotics being in our food supply. That's an exception and carefully monitored. No, we're talking about the organism that is on our food products. Now, our food is not sterile, but it has bacteria on food products, and a lot of these are healthy bacteria, but they can develop antibiotic resistance, and potentially eating that food or handling that food or that animal can transmit those resistant bacteria to people.
Are we seeing a big effort now to tackle antibiotic resistance on the livestock side of things from the federal government?
Huge. There's a huge push to begin to address this issue. So President Obama put forth an executive order, it must be about 18, 20 months ago, which in that executive order, he proposed a number of different measures trying to clamp down on how we use antibiotics in animal agriculture and how do we try to spare these antibiotics, medically important antibiotics, so they continue to be effective in human medicine. And so this activity is really going to get launched here in about a month with very specific mandates. For example, I'll just give you one. So historically, we've used antibiotics as growth promotants to enhance animal performance. Those days are done. So we will not be able to use those anymore. The other thing that used to happen is the people that would use antibiotics in animal feeds did not have to be a licensed veterinarian. Those days are over. The medically important ones will be controlled by veterinarians. So there are some very specific actions that have been taken that will be going forward here very shortly.
And what you're talking about there is the use of antibiotics for otherwise healthy animals, right?
So historically, it was the use of antibiotics for healthy animals and as growth stimulants. Now we're going to be using antibiotics only for the treatment of disease, because animals get diseases as well, and we have to, for the welfare of the animal, we have to be able to treat them as well. So those will have to be at least the medically important ones. These are the ones we use in human medicine. They will actually have to be prescribed by a veterinarian, which has not happened in the past.
Talking to Mark Cook from the Department of Animal Science at UW-Madison, talking about antibiotic-resistant bacteria efforts on the livestock side of things to help turn the tide on that problem, changing the way we use antibiotics on livestock. But, Mark, that's only part of the answer, and that's where your research comes in. You're looking at other ways to prevent and treat disease without relying on antibiotics, as I understand it, at all. What are you working on?
Well, we kind of stumbled on something. So a researcher in my laboratory, Jordan Sand, Dr. Jordan Sand and I, were actually studying different models of inflammatory disease in animals. And we weren't really trying to come up with an alternative to antibiotics. We were actually trying to develop animal models to study this particular problem. And we kind of stumbled onto something accidentally, which was quite shocking. And as we dug further into the literature, it all began to make sense that many of these pathogenic organisms that are able to infect humans and animals have to have a way to evade or get around the immune system of the animal. Normally, the immune system can take care of most pathogens. So to be a successful pathogen, you have to be able to shut off the immune system. And in our research, we found one of the key signals that was being used to shut off the immune system. And once we kind of found that process, we were able to make a switch to turn the immune system back on. So we've been able to actually take animals that historically had to have antibiotics and feed them this immune turn-on switch, so we don't even target the bacteria or the pathogens, and the immune system's been able to handle without the use of antibiotics.
So talk about a little more about how that would work. Antibiotics will kill often the bacteria, bad and good, the stuff causing the problems and the good stuff we want in the animals. Is that still going to be a consequence with this turning on the switch, cutting out that sort of camouflage of the pathogen?
Well, you hit probably the most important part of this. So think of it this way. A bacteria comes in, that's a pathogen. It then sends a signal to the immune system, telling the immune system to turn itself off. And historically, to deal with that pathogen, we had to bomb that pathogen with antibiotics. So we target the pathogen, and it becomes resistant to the antibiotics we use to target it. So what we've done is we don't even go after the pathogen itself. We just simply, when that pathogen turns off the immune system, we have a natural product, which is a antibody, very different than an antibiotic, that then turns the immune system back on, and then the immune system kills the organism. So now we put no pressure on the pathogen itself. Therefore, the pathogen doesn't have the way of developing resistance. At least we haven't found resistance that you would get by directly targeting the pathogen. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, where are you in developing this this antibody, I guess? Where is it in the development and testing process now?
So we did all the work on University of Wisconsin's campus, the initial discoveries. We filed patents through Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, and then continued to try to find money to advance the concepts and ideas. Then we met with lots of pharmaceutical companies trying to get them interested in possibly moving this forward, and nobody would pick up on it. I think they thought it was a little bit too crazy. So we began to work with a technology transfer platform on campus called Discovery of the Product, trying to move this into some type of commercial setting. And as of last year, we actually were able to put together the funds to launch a company, which is Abby Discovery. And that company right now is going through some of the final regulatory phases. And we've done field trials with large numbers of animals. In fact, in chicken production, we've done, in comparison, in the neighborhood of 300,000, 400,000 animals treated with this that required absolutely no drugs, no chemicals, no antibiotics.
And Mark, we're just about out of time, but I want to ask a question. Maybe I'm getting out ahead of things here. You're testing this on animals. We're worried about humans and antibiotics not working. Is there a thought that a similar principle might apply as an alternative to antibiotics for humans?
It does apply. And so my lab's very accustomed to doing preclinical trials, and we're already in conversations to do similar trials, beginning with animals and ultimately, hopefully, with humans.
All right, Mark, thank you so much for sharing your research. We'll check back in with you as this moves along.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
We've been talking to Mark Cook, professor and researcher in the Department of Animal Science at UW-Madison. He joins us to talk about antibiotic resistance and his work as part of the team at AbbE Discovery, which is working on non-antibiotic solutions to various diseases, hopefully getting around this problem of antibiotic resistance in animals and in humans.
Coming up after the news, we'll talk to a reporter and an editor from USA Today Network Wisconsin about their ongoing series on student loan debt. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time here on the Ideas Network.